Good morning, saints. How are you all doing today? Praise God. I've got several things in my heart. After lunch, we'll spend time prophesying. I thought maybe I'd better share the word this morning because you'll probably be more awake. After lunch, who knows what can happen. I was just over there worshiping the Lord and enjoying His presence, and I just started thinking about the word suddenly. You know, things have a way of happening suddenly, don't they? And so I was just thinking about this, and there's a scripture in Joshua, and the Bible says in Joshua 10:7, it says, there was warfare going on, and it says, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. So Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night. I just thought that was rather humorous. Because very often that's the way suddenlies come, after we've marched all night. After we've labored for days and weeks and years, and then all of a sudden success comes and people say, well, how did that happen? What's your secret? I was reading about one of the brothers in the Bible. His name went right out of my head. He was treading the grain out in the mill there. You know who it was. Gideon, yeah. And he called him a man of valor, you know. And Gideon didn't seem to be much different than anybody that I knew. So I was asking the Lord, I said, what made Gideon a man of valor? And the Lord very quickly said, he showed up. You see, and very often that's the key to a suddenly. Is being willing to show up, being willing to maintain the thing that God has called us to do. When others are laying it down and quitting because it's not going their way, they're not having the measuring success they thought they were going to have, somebody doesn't like them. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of reasons to quit, isn't there? But I'll tell you, if we ever want to have these suddenlies from God, we may have to find ourselves marching many a night through the night to get to what God has for us. In John chapter 6, there's an interesting story. The Bible says in chapter 16, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. So I'm not sure how they expected him to come, whether this was the second time he'd walked on the water to them or not, but I mean, they're out in the middle of the boat and they're saying, where do you reckon he is? I mean, so there must have been some expectation there for him to come to them. And the Bible says the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. Have you ever been there? You know, you're in your little boat, you're paddling for all you're worth, two strokes forward, three strokes back. The water's coming over the sides, and it can be a scary thing when the wind comes up like that. And you're out in the middle of the water with no water wings and no life preservers, and you can't even see the land, and they're rowing for all they're worth. The Bible says when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Say that with me, immediately. That sort of sounds like suddenly, doesn't it? You see, here's the truth in this thing. God has suddenlies for us, and he's never on time, but he's never late. Isn't that wonderful? He knows when to come. And if he has to walk across the sea to get to us, he will. And you may think, this is it, God. I'm going down for the last count. I just don't think I can do this anymore. It wasn't too long ago I was sitting at my home thinking, Lord, I'm not sure how long I can continue doing the things I'm doing. Because, you know, things aren't so well sometimes in my body. My back hurts. I've got a bad elbow. I can't lift my shoulder. I got I'm just falling apart. My teeth are falling out. And you know the story, some of you, right? Things don't work the way they used to. So, Lord, I think maybe I'm just going to sort of stay at home a bit and travel around here. And then I get a call from Brother Dave, will you come? And before I even realized it, I said, sure. And then afterwards, I thought, what have I got myself into? I mean, many times I've said, God, if you'll just get me through this, I promise I'll never do it again, you know. And but we keep going, don't we? Because we don't know what else to do. It's what we're called to do. It's what we've been birthed to do. It's what we've been created to do. And we rely on those suddenlies of God when He makes that appearance in our life. And I just feel like some of you are due for some suddenlies. You've got some immediatelies in your near future because you've been laboring and fighting. And we bravely talk about revival and this and that, but there's a lot of other stuff going on in this world and in this life that affect us, whether we want it to or not. Our nations have gone crazy. I mean, somebody turned the key to the asylum and let all the folks out, and they've made their way into government somehow. The other day, I was thinking back in the 70s when we were casting devils out of people. How many remember those days? Every now and then you still run into one, but I mean, everybody had devils, and some had many devils, and we would cast them out and cast. Then it seemed like it got quiet. I don't know, and I was just thinking the other day, where did all the devils go? Then it occurred to me they went into politics. Now you have to decide which party they went into, but it seems as though the devils are in charge. And I believe that God still has some suddenlies. I think things are boiling and seething and writhing because God is getting ready. In the South, we would say God is fixing to do something. I really believe it. I don't think He's just going to let this world go to hell in a handbasket because it is His world. It's still His world. Christ is still King of this world. When Adam may have given his authority and stewardship away to the devil, but when Jesus came, he promptly took it back. It is not the devil's world anymore. He may rule in the children of disobedience, but our King is still in charge. I didn't say that God is in control. That's a nice religious phrase because I do not believe that God is in control. If He is, I'm worried. Things don't look good. Because of the things that's happening, if God's in control of that, God, what are you thinking? Hello? God doesn't control anyone. I mean, you think about control. What kind of control did you have over your kids when they weren't in your sight? What kind of control do you have over yourself at times? Control is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's hard won, isn't it? So this idea of God being in control, we need to understand God isn't controlling anything, but He's in charge. He has plans, and He has set seasons and epochs and times when things are going to happen, whether anybody likes it or not. We didn't vote God in, and we're not going to vote God out. He's a dictator. Albeit a benevolent dictator, but He will have His will in the end, and it may come suddenly. How many times in our history, if we look back, was the world at the point of total chaos, and then God did something magnificent? He showed up. He arrived on the scene. In some of America's darkest history, right when things were looking bad, God showed up. Even way back in the days when in the early colonization of our nation, there was a great revival that took place in the middle of nowhere. And back in those days, before there were roads and cars and internet and telephones and I mean, people would come by the tens of thousands to this great place, and they would have speakers all around the field. Tens of thousands of people were coming in revival at a dark time in the history of our nation. Suddenly, I believe suddenly, God is going to do something. I don't know about you, but our nation is in, we're having a civil war in America right now. It's not a war of guns and knives and missiles and all that. It's a war of ideas, a war of values. And there's deep-seated hatred on both sides. There's fear, there's animosity. There's no willingness to listen or compromise. Nobody knows what the word moderation means anymore. You're either way over here or you're way over there, and we're not listening to each other. And it's like a gulf that separates us. God, we need us suddenly, because only you can bridge that gulf. You see, God loves the folks on both sides of that. He loves the folks that have got it straight, and he loves the folks that are in darkness and don't know what they're doing. And it's going to take us suddenly, an appearing, an immediately that's coming. But it may be after we've marched through the long night. And it may be after we've faced the problems and the struggles of our life. And it may be after we've tried our best and seen our best fail, and we get down to praying. Someone says, oh, has it come to that? You see, we still have ideas, don't we? We still have plans. We still have things that we think is going to make a difference. We've got that person, if we can just get them in office, if we can just get them in power, they're going to change everything. No, it's going to take God. It's going to take God changing heart by heart, person by person, to redeem a nation. You can't legislate righteousness. It's born in our hearts from the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, there is no justice. Without the Holy Ghost, there is no righteousness. There's only man-centered living, which becomes selfish and dark very quickly. Did you ever wonder why God stopped people from living forever? Think about it. The older we get, the more capacity we have for evil. The more depraved we become. The more detached we become from good. And for our own sake, God cut us off young. But there'd be no hope for this world at all if we all lived forever in this mortal body. We're being fitted for eternity now, but a different kind of eternity that would have been our future otherwise. Hallelujah. Because there was a day when you had a suddenly, and suddenly Jesus was standing before you. And suddenly you broke, and suddenly you yielded, and you surrendered, and suddenly your life took on a whole new way. And God is preparing us to be people who will bring suddenlies into other folks' lives. He's stirring his love in us. I've gone through a time where I've had to come to the place where I realized that I had become angry inside and cynical, and that I wished harm upon some of my national leaders, you know, and Lord, why do you even let them live? You know, why not just, I mean, I know you probably don't feel that way about your national leaders, but what was that fellow, John, was that guy that you celebrate every year with the fireworks? Yeah, I never could work it out whether that celebration was in fact that he failed or whether he gave it a good try. Yeah. But, you know, if we're honest, that's our humanity, isn't it? But I came to the place where I realized, you know, some time ago God was stirring my heart to reach out to the people that are the disenfranchised, the people that got so hurt in fellowship, in church, in pastors, and whatever, that they just got disheartened and they stopped going to church. And there's others that won't even go near a church. There's people that have been so abused by the religious system, they want nothing to do with it. And so God kept putting that on my heart, and I knew something was going on, and I'd get prophecies. Even over here, the last time I was over here, I got prophecies, you're going to start a ministry and do this and that. And I thought, well, all right, if this is really you, I'm going to give it a shot. And I mean, I've planted two churches. I know what it's like. I know what to do. Amen? I mean, I've been doing this a while. I've been in the ministry for almost 50 years, so I've learned a couple of things. I don't know everything, but I've made lots of mistakes, and I know what not to do. And so most of that's on hindsight. And so I attempted to bring this place. I got a place to meet and some core group, and it just didn't go anywhere. All the people that didn't want to go to church anymore still didn't want to go to church. So finally, I just felt like, well, this is not working. What is it that, you know, you want, God? And so I sort of said, well, I've given it my best shot. It's in the ball's in your court, you know. And so money began to run a little low. Sometimes God uses the natural, doesn't he? And so I said, you know, I'm needing to make some money. And my wife said, well, have you ever thought about Uber? And I thought, what is Uber? And she told me it's this ride-sharing thing. I didn't think much about it, but after a few months, I thought, well, I'll give it a try. And so I got all lined up, and I started giving rides, and about 6 months into it, after several thousand of these godless people in my car with all various sorts of lifestyles, if you know what I mean, and with all the alphabet behind them, G, T, well, all those things, being in my car and listening to their godless conversations and the drunks. One day it came to me that I was doing what God had called me to do, that I was on the front line. And that's what made me so aware of this great civil war we're in, because here I am with all the enemy in my car. All those ones from the other side, the other view that I would never even think about or even be interested in entertaining a conversation with them, because I was so angry inside about it. I disliked them so much. I hated the city in which I was driving. It's a new age city. Have you ever heard of San Francisco? And do you sort of know what San Francisco is like? Well, if you ever want to go there, don't want to go that far, just come to Asheville, North Carolina, because it's San Francisco in the mountains. It's filled with, it's a new age city. It's run by hipsters. It's full of drugs and homelessness. And I mean, whatever that you think would be going on there, human trafficking, it's all there. And I avoided it like the plague for years, and here I am in the middle of that, and it made me so aware of the great divide between the church and the world and how out of touch we are with what they're thinking and saying. And it made me so aware of the anger in my own heart. And now I've had to come to face with that. And, you know, it's made me realize that I've had gotten out of touch with the Lord. You know, that I needed to do something for my own sake. So I've been praying and forgiven and declaring love and saying, God, I'm even willing to love Asheville, that lovely, you know, that city of evil. I'm even willing to embrace it and love the people in it and their ways and love them the way you love them. And I feel like God's changing me. And I believe that it's going to bring me to a suddenly, that there's going to be releases and times of visitation and time. And I've had the privilege of praying for people in my car. I've led a couple to the Lord right in the back seat as we drove down the road, led them through the sinner's prayer. And I've prophesied, I've prayed healing. Then I've had people get so mad at me, they wrote bad letters to the company and got harassed over it. And I've had times when I've known there's no interest, and times just to be quiet, and times when this conversation was rich and full and talking about the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's like church. But I'm getting paid for it, and I'm rolling down the road at 70 miles an hour talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, we've got to become innovative and get out of our way of thinking if we're going to reach this world and win this war. We might have to be willing to march all night to face the waves, but God will make a way for us. He'll make a way for us to break through. He'll make a way for us to be effective. He'll make a way even though we might be weak. And I'm standing up here by faith and by grace, because normally I'm sitting down there, you see, because the Holy Ghost will strengthen us when we need the strength. The anointing of God will come upon us. You see, it's still all about the Holy Ghost, isn't it? We need the Holy Ghost in His fullness. We need the Holy Ghost in all His gifts. And we think maybe we started one way, but we know how to do it now, God. Hello? We know how to do it. We know what it takes to build a church, to plant a church, to win a nation. No, we don't. We just think we do. We might have known how we did it, but we may not know how to do it. Hello? And so I just encourage us today to begin bringing the Holy Spirit more and more and more in line with our thinking. To become more and more and more in line with His heart. Because, you see, sometimes I've gotten awful coarse in my attitudes. And, you know, I come from a long line of troublemakers. My family's been in every war and conflict that you could think of on both sides. One of my relatives on the Welsh side of the family was killed by Indians. You know, I've had my family on the French side involved all the way from the Revolutionary War through every war there was. So I, you know, my family have been warlike. And I can get that in me, that, brother, you want to mess with me, I'll show you. I mean, not anymore, but I used to. Now I'm a peaceful man. But there was always a bit of war in my heart. And there may be some in yours as well. Because I just think that's what it's, being a human oftentimes is like. And God wants to soften me up, to make me compassionate, tender-hearted, slow to anger, quick to listen and slow to speak, so that I can reach out in love. And the people will know that it's just not me, not a religious spirit talking to them, but they can sense the love of God coming through my voice and shining out of my eyes. Amen. I believe there's great suddenlies waiting for us. I believe that He's going to take us to the other side when the hour is the darkest and the wind's blowing the hardest and the waves are washing over the boat and there's nowhere to go but down. All of a sudden He's going to be there and it's going to be like, God, who and what? It frightened them, even though they were looking for Him, even though, I mean, there He was. And when He hit that boat, boom, they were there on the other side, translated the whole boat. That's our Jesus. Amen? Now, we're leaders, we're ministers, and so I'm just going to turn this off and I'm just going to follow the Spirit. If this has sparked something in you, and you know how that is, don't you? So, I mean, I've just been praying and trusting the Holy Ghost to speak. I had 3 or 4 things as backup. Right? I'm looking at the oak, that'll work. Oh, okay. You know how it works, don't you, Chris? But don't you just love it when He comes? Yeah, and I believe maybe He sparked some things this morning. Would anybody like to share what God sparked in your heart this morning? Because we would love to hear it. I think I'm pretty much done. Brother, come up here and take this, and I'm going to go back to my seat, and I'm turning. But I think I've done my part. Is that all right?
Okay. Bless you.
Bless you.
Suddenlies, yeah. I want more and more suddenlies. Yesterday, I was preaching over at part of this church in Bridgewater. And after the meeting, I was talking to one of the congregation and noticed that she had a problem with her wrist. And so I said, oh, is that painful? Yeah. Can I pray for it? So I just put my hand on her wrist and prayed. And suddenly, suddenly, she was healed. And it was just amazing. She's not a Christian. And actually, her words were, "I've just been God-smacked." And I thought, "Ow, wow." I want to hear more of that. I want to see more of that. I've seen a lot, but it's just great when God suddenly moves. But you know, he can't move suddenly unless we decide to move, unless we decide to step up to the mark, unless we decide to step out of the boat. And that, for me, is when God suddenly does something and it changes people's lives. Thank you.
Yeah. Has anyone else got something to share like that? Come on.
One or two of you that I've chatted to know that we've been on a a journey for probably the last 2 or 3 years looking into all this stuff which has we've seemed to have managed to bypass for the last 50 years. And so it's been a journey, but I think the thing that's come out more than anything is just that it's all to do with how much time you spend with God and how much time you get to know him and all of that. And then I got to go to work with Todd White and Robbie Dawkins in November, and it was like the springboard, I suppose, really. And just at the point, talking about the suddenness, where you think, I've prayed for loads of people and occasionally someone said they felt slightly better and mostly not. And I just keep thinking, well, okay, I have to just keep doing it because that's how it will work. And then about 3 weeks ago, I prayed for my brother-in-law's knee, who's waiting to have a knee operation. And I said afterwards, did you feel anything at all? And he said, no. I said, oh, that's okay. We'll see. Thinking the normal, nothing will happen. I forgot about it, really. And then somebody slipped a disc and was told he had to have 6 to 8 weeks off work. And he suddenly grabbed my hand and he said, can you pray for my back? Because last time it worked. So I prayed for his back and I said, did you feel anything? He went, no. So, okay. And then there was one more, which I've forgotten at the moment. And So then a couple of weeks ago, I was with my sister-in-law and she was hobbling around with real back neck pain. And so I said to her, look, come and sit down here. I'm going to pray for your back. This is the first time that actually something happened while I was praying. And I put my hand on her back and she went, what are you doing? And I said, why? So she said, what are you doing? So I said, I'm praying for you. So she said, my whole back is completely hot. So she said, what are you doing? So I said, well, that's Jesus healing you. So then she went like that. And she said, what was that? She said, something's just released in my back. Anyway, we prayed a bit longer and then she was completely freaked out because she walked off completely, no pain at all. So, at which point my brother-in-law came over and he said, what did you do to my knee? So I said, why? So he said, because a few days later, he said, the pain went completely. And he said, I want to know what I'm going to say to the surgeon when I go. When I go and see him next week. So I said, well, you'll just have, I mean, it'll be interesting to see whether the x-ray is different or not, but the pain has gone and he's supposed to be having an operation in a few weeks' time and he doesn't know whether to have it or not. So my husband said to me, we have a tiny small group in our house once a month on a Sunday morning, and he said, I think you should tell them these stories, you see, because it'll be encouraging for them. So there's only 5 of us there. And one guy is not a Christian, so I just told those stories just like that. And this guy says, well, then you can pray for my ankle. So I said, oh, okay. He said, it's all strapped up and he can't put his foot to the ground. I didn't even notice when he walked in, but anyway. He said, if you could pray for my ankle, that would be brilliant. So I said, right, come on then, let's do it right here. And so I prayed for his ankle. I said, does anything happen? And he said, no. So I said, okay, that's okay. So then I get a text an hour later from his wife, who is a Christian, saying, he's got home and says it's about 65% better. And then in the evening, I got a text saying it's about 90% better. And the next morning, I got a text saying it's 110% better. But I think the thing is that it was suddenly, it was at the point where I was saying, is this all smoke and mirrors? And I'm just thinking that something's going to happen, and actually it never actually is going to happen. And then all of a sudden, it's just started happening, and it's amazing. But it's not about going for the, it's not about going for the effect, you know, the results. I think it's just about you, and even days like this is absolutely amazing, but it's not even about this. It's about what happens every single day in your own life, and, you know, just praying in the Spirit all the time, and for years maybe, and your relationship with God and what he wants to do through you.
Don't go far, will you? Okay. And I'd like Bob to come back up again as well, if he will. I just feel that it'd be a good thing to pray for people this morning that need prayer. Yeah. Let's minister to them, okay? Let's minister to you. Yeah, you can be, Dennis. And I tell you what, there's something about being hungry and running for it. I mean, Crystal, sorry? Chris, I mean, will know this, and some of you others, I mean, that travel around, particularly out in Africa, you have a word of knowledge out there, and you're likely to get, crushed, aren't you? I mean, there's a stampede, and then when you ask them for testimonies afterwards and what have you, well, of course I've been healed. I mean, you know, what it's almost like, why are you asking? I mean, but. I just wanted to share before we pray for people. Kenneth Hagin, back in the early 50s, I mean, he said that healing is the dinner bell for revival. You know, you start seeing the lame walking, the blind seeing. You don't need to put it in the newspaper. I mean, the world, it will travel, and you'll have your church full. I mean, word will get round. I mean, if it's happening in your place, I tell you. And it's been on my heart for a few years. I mean, Chris knows this, that, you know, I've desired a church that looks like Acts. You know, when you look at the church in Acts, you know, how does our church compare with that? Well, you know, I've some distance to go yet, and I want to go for it. I want, we've got a man in our church. He gave his life to the Lord last July. Turned up one Sunday morning. Him and his wife came out. Gave the life to the Lord. He'd been diagnosed, I mean, with motor neuron disease. And I've just spoken to his wife on the phone whilst we're having breakfast upstairs. And they expected him to go last night. And I just feel, you know, and I've been crying out to the Lord over the past few weeks. Something like, you know, in my heart, just like, you know, what can you give me? I mean, you know, like Abraham, what can you give me when I've no children? But for me, it's what can you give me, Lord, as a pastor, unless we're seeing the lame walk and the blind see, and we're seeing these people get breakthrough. What can you give me? What can you give me if we're not seeing it? I got a desire in my heart to see it. And so I'm going to... And the Lord took me, I mean, to Luke 13. I mean, you know the story there, where this lady, I mean, she's bent over 18 years, okay. And, of course, the leader in the place there, he gets bent out of shape and upset and fusses, I mean, about the fact that, you know, he's done it on the Sabbath. And I just felt the Lord say to me, I think it was the 29th of January last year, that he spoke to me and said, don't let your church, your system, the way that you do things, get in the way of me doing what I want to do. Amen. And so, I just want us to, let's just stand, shall we? Let's just reach out to God. And these two are going to pray for you. Okay? These two are going to pray for you. Okay? Come on, let's go for it. Just let's reach out in the spirit. Adababasia. Kirio do go 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 here on do bobosia. Yes, do bobosia. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Yes, Lord. We're looking to you, Lord, for breakthrough. We're looking to you as regards taking a step up. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We cry out to you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're crying out to you, Lord, with a hungry heart. Yes, we're looking to you for this suddenly. Lord, many of us in this room, we know people who are at home now suffering. We know people at home that are broken. We know people at home that have been rejected badly. We know people, Lord, that people don't avoid and don't want around them. Lord, you came to bind up the brokenhearted. Yes, Lord. You came to meet the needs of mankind, whatever it meant, in this world or the next. You came and you hung on that cross that whatever's required, you paid for on that cross. You took it. When it comes to our sin and everything else, Lord, all our failings, you turn round and say, whatever it is, I'll take it on myself, you said. I'll carry it. I'll bear the price for it. And so whether it's your failings this morning, whether it's things in your body that's going on, whatever it is, just reach out to him right now. Look to him. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And I want you to come right now out the front here. And these two are going to lay hands on you. And they're going to pray for you, okay? Let's get down the front here. Look, Dennis is the first one down here. Second, third, fourth. Here they come. I mean, where am I going to get? I've got things going on in my body that I want rid of. I want them shaking off. And I've had enough of them. And so... So you two, start at this row here and you lay hands on them. How's that? Is that good? Yeah, I mean, Jesus said, you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Yes. Hey? Some of us with our thinking, you know, we'd want to have those words taken out of the scripture. Is that right? So come on, these two, we're not going to go into a lot of detail. You know, over 6 months and all the pain you went through and what have you. He says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So they're going to lay hands on you. But don't forget me. All right, but start down here, okay? Just start laying. Go for it. Come on. Yeah, that's good. A bit of background music. Yes, Lord. Come on, come on. Yes, Lord. Keep praying in the Spirit. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just believe God that He's come to do something. We're stepping into this suddenly. Come on. Yes, Lord. We believe it's your will, Lord. We believe it's what you want to do. Who? Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So many people are healed and they've never felt a thing. Never. Have you been prayed for? Oh, good. You got it. That's right. Yes, Lord. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Yes, Lord. Can you wave your hand to me if you're prepared to be a catcher just for a few minutes? You won't get left out. One, two, there. Just get me three, four, Just get behind these people that are being prayed for. We don't want any accidents. I remember being in Holland once, and this woman went flying and caught her head on the corner of an object and split her head open. We're not having that here, amen? Yes.
All morning I had like a shooting pain in my little finger when I was playing guitar, and it was really sore. I was just being prayed for, and it's completely gone. Completely gone. Completely gone.
Whoa, come on! Does that lift your faith? Does that encourage you? Yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just keep praying in the Spirit. Yes, Lord. You might have got your healing, but there's others here wanting theirs. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let your blessing come right now, Lord. Fresh oil, fresh touch. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Some of you just keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's just pray in the Spirit. Do you know something? Let me just tell you this. God is healing. Right now, God is healing. People are receiving their healing right now. People are receiving their healing. Yes, Lord. When you're getting prayed for, make sure you get in receiving mode. I say to people, get in receiving mode. Come on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Continue to pray in the Spirit. Just believe God. Yes, Lord. How could He not want to heal you when you've had a revelation of His love? Yes, Lord. Give us a fresh revelation of John 3:16, Lord, of how much You love us. With that revelation, we'll believe You for anything. Yes, Lord. Let it come. Let it come. Let it come. Yes. I'm believing for some more testimonies. Yes. Yes. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Yes. Yes. Thank You, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come and see me if you've felt something going on in your body. If you feel that maybe I'm 20% better than what I were, 30% better than what you were, come on. Come and tell your story. Just like Simon, his pain's gone. 100%. Some of you might have just got 20%, 30%. But he's here. Receive, 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 receive. Yes. 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 Some of you are just enjoying His presence. Yes. You know, I got these two to pray for you because they've prayed for the sick before. I mean, Bob goes out on the streets, I mean, praying for the sick. He goes out regularly. His testimony about somebody being healed yesterday, this man sees it regularly. Just receive, receive, receive. Yes. Yes. Recently I was praying for the sick and they say, well, I don't feel any different. I said, let's keep going. Let's press in. And we started to see something happen as we pressed in and prayed again and again and again. And we kept going until we saw something happen. Amen? Yes.
I can feel in the presence of the Holy Spirit in this room. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my spirit and he wants to like explode this place. And I can see like the river of God here right now in this place. And the river of God is here. And God said just he healing, but he just called everybody in this room who comes from here right now. So like come here and in the front. Come on the river, everybody. Because the Holy Spirit will blow in your spirit. Hey, I'm feeling the presence of this room. And it explodes, not just healing, but in fire and in presence. I can see right now like heavens open up like just in the heads of the people. Just open your spirit. Hey, open your hearts right now because God is here for putting fresh and pouring in your life, in your spirit right now. So just close your eyes. Just speak in tongues. Just lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. And I will pray for you. I'm feeling this in my spirit, like there's fresh fire this morning. There's fresh fire this morning. So you're waiting for to receive. Yay! You're receiving your spirit. So you said, God, I'm ready for receiving more because I'm hungry for you, Jesus. I'm hungry for your presence. My heart's burning for you, Jesus. Hey, my spirit moving. There's this deeper river right now. And God said, God inviting you, says, coming. Yay, just coming. Just coming.
You just start praying for them. Go down the road. Where's the catchers? There's one over here. He's catching. Come on. Couple of catchers there. Yep. Just start praying for them. Receive. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Let it flow, Lord. We're coming to get in the river, Lord. Huh? Yes, Lord. Come on. Who? Yes, Lord. Yes. It's okay to get drunk. You're free to get drunk. Shh. Who? Yes, Lord. Shh. Yes. Yes. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. I notice, Lord, you've brought your heavy drinkers here this morning. Yep. You've brought your heavy drinkers here. Drink big. Yes. Take big drinks. Oh! Come on. More, Lord. More. More, Lord. Here it comes. Yes. Yes. Let it come. Come on. Yes. 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 Dennis mentioned the importance of forgiveness. He mentioned forgiveness. You know, if you've got aught against any, come on. What we've practiced in this church is we've given up the right to be offended. Given up the right. We've let it go. Not being offended. Shh. Yes. 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 Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Yes. Come on. Yes. Yes. Drink. 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 Drink of His Spirit. Yes. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Come, Lord. Come, 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 come. More, Lord. More. Shabbat. Yes. Is there someone here with back pain? Pain in your back right now? Is that you? Anyone else? Any other takers? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just hold my hand right now. Father, I just take authority over this pain in the back. I command it to come into order right now in the name of Jesus. If there's any straightening needs to be done, just straighten up back right now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Healing right over that back now. There it comes. There it goes. There you got it. Yes. Alignment, may it be straightened up right now in the name of Jesus. I command it to be straight. Come on, straight in Jesus' name. Hold. Yes. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.